You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Final hour has arrived in Nashville. We still have a number of other guests. We've already spoken with Josh Heupel and so many others today, as including the commissioner. One of the most poignant conversations that we have had with him. The media here is starting to thin out. I don't know exactly what the last media member standing contest will look like. Right now, too many media members to even have a competition. Some great shirts there, too. We've been talking this afternoon about, you know, some of the, you know, embarrassments of journalism in recent weeks with the Georgia story. But if you have been following Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel, you've seen the other side of that. Some of the truly stellar sports journalism we've seen in a long time with Adam and his news organization uncovering a lot, if not all, of what went down in the Tennessee situation. Adam, I realize a lot of people have been consuming it, but is there a way to encapsulate what you've learned? And secondly, how have you been able to go about ascertaining so much information?
So at Knox News, we did, over the past few years, we've done a lot of records requests, even since this started, even before I was on the beat. And we ended up in a lot of FOIAs, a lot of records requests, getting almost 3,000 pages of documents, 6,000 text messages. I've read every one of them several times over. And, you know, there's a number of things that they show you, obviously, but it makes sense reading through the text messages and the documents of why the NCAA came down so hard on Jeremy Pruitt and his staff. He got a 6-year show cause, but it was 8 assistants or 8 coaches, 39 years of show causes combined. And the NCAA chair of the Committee on Infractions said that it was some of the worst they'd ever seen, that it was blatant. One of the comments I remember from the committee chair was that it was as if they wouldn't even pretend to follow the rules. And you see that in the text messages. You know, there's one of my favorites in there is when in the middle of all the cheating, when they were bringing recruits during COVID onto campus for secret visits and they were paying their way and all those sort of things, there was a Dennis Dodd story that was shared among the recruiting staff, just a link to a story, and one of the coaches gave a thumbs down emoji that it said they could not speak to players in person, recruits in person. That was what the story was. And they gave a thumbs down emoji to that and then continued to share itineraries of secret visits. So they're sort of ridiculing the fact that it's against the rules, and then they're continuing to do that. Just thousands and thousands of text messages setting up visits, recruiting visits they were not supposed to have, paying for recruits to come, and all the while just talking about it brazenly in really a clumsy way. And that was another thing that jumped out to me. It was, you know, they would... Another one of my favorites of the text messages is an analyst and a coach going back and forth about a recruit they were not supposed to have on campus, and one of them shared something that showed there were infractions in the text message. And the assistant coach said, don't send those kinds of texts to my work phone. That's for a personal phone. And then that analyst replied to that and said, absolutely, nothing we're talking about or doing needs to be on work phones. Only he replied to the work number to say that. And so you see how clumsy some of this stuff is, where they would admit in text messages back and forth of what they were doing and then remind each other they shouldn't be doing it.
I've talked to a couple of different people, Adam. One in particular, Pat Forty, who's covered the NCAA enforcement for 30 years. And he said if you go back 25 years, this is possibly a three-year bowl ban. That's how serious it was. I mean, most of Tennessee fans are saying, oh, great, nothing happened. Move on. But that's not exactly the way it went down. So a couple of questions here, and I don't think you could – you might be not be able to answer it exactly. But to me, the mystery person – on one level, has been the athletic director at the time, Philip Fulmer. Does he show up anywhere in all this?
So we got a hold of some of his internal emails. It was really his personal notes with his email. That's how we got it through a records request. And he lays out in the just a couple of weeks before Jeremy Pruitt is fired, he lays out his notes of what he's presenting to the chancellor of the case he's going to make. He's arguing that Jeremy Pruitt should be kept. And the problem with that... The problem with that, obviously, is he was in error saying that.
Error.
But number two, though, I put it this way. I think Philip Fulmer, at least in the emails that we have, looks clueless but maybe not culpable. And what I mean by that is he never really acknowledges that there are violations that he knows of. And again, this is personal notes in his email. But he instead argues that Jeremy Pruitt should be kept because the offensive guards bench press have gone up so much, and they've shown progress there, and they just got a pass rusher on campus. There's one of his emails says, you have to understand that Jeremy Pruitt lost 2 years ago to Vanderbilt, and the psychological effects of that are still weighing on the program. He was seeing everything through a lens of an offensive line coach as opposed to an athletic director. So now, could have he planted those emails to look clueless? Maybe. But it looks more like maybe he just, you know, for better or worse, didn't know anything was going on when he really should have. mean, where do you want to go with that, Paul?
I mean, it's pretty sad when one of the most revered names in Tennessee history has to plead clueless so he doesn't look culpable.
Yeah, and you could see why. When they booted Jeremy Pruitt and the staff out, Philip Fulmer immediately resigned or retired or was told to resign. He did get a buyout after that, but you could see in those internal emails when they would have the meetings about Jeremy Pruitt, whether or not he should go, how many violations are there. And some of the emails that we found looked more like a fishing expedition on the case of the chancellor of trying to find out if Phil Fulmer knows about these things. And
which brings me to this question. The idea that it doesn't surprise me because football coaches are always in that lane, and I've seen it before with terrible trends. Well, we have to preserve recruiting. We have to do this. How did Donde Plowman ultimately, from what you could tell, get to a conclusion that she made, which we all know was the right conclusion?
Well, I mean, she got a tip to her office at the beginning of this. And what's funny is people think the tip that to the chancellor's office is what kicked all this off. They investigated, did a number of interviews with coaches, and didn't find anything. And a couple weeks into the investigation, one of the student workers in the football program repeated to an investigator that he had heard a joke about a nail salon around the football program. And the joke was so that Tennessee assistants did not take a pay cut during COVID. They refused to do it, or almost all of them did. One of them was Brian Niedermeyer, the assistant that was operating a lot of the cheating. And the joke around the football office was Brian Niedermeyer did not take a pay cut because he had to pay for nail salon visits for recruits' mothers. And the investigators asked more questions, then they grabbed everybody's cell phone and looked at it, and sure enough, there's thousands of texts of money exchanges and setting up nail salons and restaurants and hotels and all this that they were not supposed to be paying for. It's comical.
it's also really sad, and it's sad in particular because Jeremy Pruitt, or at least his attorneys, you know, carried on this fiat against the school and how they're going to do this and that. I mean, it's in terms of him, what could you share with us specifically about what Jeremy Pruitt is culpable in having done?
I mean, if this was a criminal trial, the majority of things he would not be found guilty of. The standard is not as high to the NCAA, right. But he was implicated in a number of things along the ways where a text would refer to him, but it would not be to him. I'm sure Jeremy had a burner phone. He was smarter than the lower level staffers.
We hope.
Yeah, because we don't have his text message. We have the people beneath him. But he was referenced in different things, and so you could see how the dots would connect. But then at the end of that, Derek Ainslie, his defensive coordinator, or one of his assistants, Derek Ainslie, said in his response to the NCAA investigations that allegations that Jeremy Pruitt oversaw the whole operation, and he caused it. And once you get that on the record, that one of the guys getting a show cause says, well, okay, we're going to drop the veil here. Jeremy Pruitt knew it, and he facilitated a lot of it. Once that happens, it was sort of over. I'm really surprised that Jeremy Pruitt just didn't take a show cause early on, negotiated it, go ahead and have time served. And he would be a year or two into that right now, but he didn't. I think he's going to appeal. Behind the scenes, a lot of the arguments are kind of strange. One of the arguments that his attorney made to the NCAA was, yeah, Jeremy Pruitt had tons of cash on him all the time. He had done ATM withdrawals of $10,000 to $25,000 a month in cash he would have. And his attorney's defense of that was, well, he did the same thing at Alabama. And we have some of Jeremy Pruitt's bank records to show at Alabama he would typically have $10,000, $20,000, $25,000 in cash. Maybe that they thought that would help him in this case, but in terms of public relations, that's not a good defense to use, that I did the same thing at Alabama.
Yeah, well, Nick Saban, I'm sure, appreciates that very much.
I'll bet.
I mean, there's so much to deal with. I mean, I want to compliment your bosses because this is – well, a lot of news organizations just don't go to this extent. And this isn't a call to arms about the industry. It's just the fact that people need to know. And too often we don't know anything. And we get the spin. And through your great reporting, final question, though. I mean, I've done things where you've dealt with massive amounts of records. But I'm just curious how you went about diving into all of this.
My wife is doing her dissertation right now, and she had a lot of post-its and highlighters. And I took that bucket away from her and used it for this. We have a whole team, and that's a good thing about old-school journalism. You have a team together, people that know what they're doing, and at Knox News, we had a team to do it. Mike Wilson, my colleague, fellow Tennessee writer, is now taking the other side. I've done the investigation on the institution and Jeremy Pruitt. He is now delving into it, looking at the prospects and players to identify who was on the receiving end of some of these, because a lot of them are spread around the SEC. We got more of this, and a number of players that play for other coaches here took money, and you know, it's fine, whatever. We're in a different era now, but they did take money under the table to have a few things paid for, and then went to other schools to play apart from Tennessee. And we've had some of those. We'll have more of those moving forward. I think.
Yeah, I would encourage all of you, if you have a second, to look into some of this reporting, because it really clumsy doesn't really do it justice. But I don't want to put you in an awkward spot because you're only in the early days of this. But Adam, I tremendous work for you and your entire team and your bosses. It's commendable to learn this much about this operation that most people on the other side and these lawyers just tried to knock down. Tennessee say survived the day, but the stories will continue. Really great stuff. Thanks for coming by.
Appreciate it. Good to be on, Paul.
Really an amazing conversation with Adam. We take a break. We still have plenty of time left here in Nashville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Michael Katz joins us. Covers Ole Miss for the Daily Journal in Mississippi. Be a pretty good place to cover Ole Miss from. We are back. Final hour is underway here at SEC Media Days. And Michael, even before we start on Ole Miss, I want to compliment you. You've been covering sports not that long. And recently you started teaching at Ole Miss, and I had the opportunity to visit with your class, and it was really fun to see the enthusiasm, and I hear great things from people on campus about your early days as a professor.
It was a really cool experience, and I cannot tell you how excited the class was to have you in there, and I learned a lot from you. They learned a lot from you. It's you always hear from teachers that there's something fulfilling about passing on knowledge or whatever it is that I have, and them growing and seeing where they start and where they finished, and just seeing my students get so much better and really find their passion. I had one student change his minor to journalism. That was just one of the highest compliments I could possibly get. So it was a really cool experience, and I'm looking forward to going forward too.
And you almost need a degree in journalism to be able to cover Lane Kiffin, because
I think I need more than that.
He's never ending. Today he made a lot of news on myriad fronts, but it's the headline that probably wasn't completely accurate, because I've only been reacting on various ESPN shows to the soundbite. But take us back a couple of hours ago in terms of what he was trying to say about NIL.
Yeah, so and this is always the talking point that you can expect. There's a couple things that you can be sure that Lane is going to want to get through, and it's NIL and the transfer portal and that intersection of what he calls free agency. And he's been very vocal about that. I think he was vocal about it last year here.
Everywhere.
He talks about it at pretty much any opportunity. And so I think this one particularly, I know the disaster word came out. I think he called it the current situation somewhat of a disaster. And
yeah.
I think what he's trying to say is, like, for him, he's long advocated for, like, the salary cap kind of thing, and that there just needs to be more regulation. You know, he brought up the transfer portal windows that, you know, compare it to, you know, if LeBron James could become a free agent twice a year, how would that affect your team building? The fact that these teams are just constantly changing, the fact that a lot of these guys are going to the highest bidder, it's hard to build a team that way. And he did note that last year he didn't handle things as well as he could have, but part of the problem, and he admitted this, was when you build a team of largely of transfers and they haven't been through these experiences together, when things go bad, it's kind of hard to get everybody on the same page. And so he acknowledges the kind of dual,
yeah, but Michael,
dual
here's a guy talking about players being able to leave if they get upset about something. He's gone and gotten quarterbacks from two different schools. I mean, I hear from opposing coaches that Ole Miss is a player now. I talked to, who was it, Walker Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Talked to him recently, saw him in D.C. And here's also a coach who, talk about not handling something very well, he's flirting with Auburn. The reports are he's going to Auburn. He's sending out mixed messages while his team is literally burning away the season. So, I'm not sure I understand what he was talking about.
It's a delightful irony with a lot of the things that he says. It's someone posed the question to me, if you had all of the money that the boost, someone asked him to rank boosters in the SEC today, which was a pretty entertaining question. He declined to say that. But the point being that, you know, if Ole Miss was at the top of the booster list, would he be complaining about the salary, you know, that issue? Because if you're at the top and you're getting able to get guys, you're excited. You're thrilled that you can get anybody you want whenever you want. So I think part of it is he understands where he is, and the sort of way that he builds a team is different than the way other teams do in this conference, even with the transfer portal.
I'm glad we cleared that up. Ben Portnoy with us. Excuse me, Ben Portnoy was just here. Michael Katz here. I am sorry. I got my own name wrong a minute ago. Michael, let's talk about the most important thing, and that's what happens on the field. And it seems like Kiffin had it going last year. I heard him say on TV today, you know, we were, 8-0? Is that right?
7-0.
7-0. And then 5 out of the last 6, is that right? I mean, How is this program going to turn it around? And I mean, I know what happened the year before, and it was great, but last year just seemed like the momentum was stopped.
Yeah, and I think that you look at, there's two moments other than the Auburn thing. The Alabama game, the way that game happened, that's a season changer. If that goes their way, I think things finish a little bit differently.
They were on the cusp of...
I mean, it would have been the signature win that everybody's been talking about that he needs, and they came up 20, I think it was 19 yards short or whatever it was.
It wasn't like just, you know, final play of the game last... I mean, it was just so bad and difficult to watch.
Well, I mean, and I know the thing that people brought up is, you know, you have your superstar running back who gets you down there, and you take him out for the end of the game.
It made no sense.
Yeah, and so I know
Kiffin's analytics tell otherwise, but the final score tells it all.
Absolutely, and so... I think that was a big moment for them. And then the LSU game, which was before that, and that was a game where they were up.
Way before, yeah.
They had a chance to retake the lead, and Jackson Dart threw an interception in the end zone. And really from that point, things kind of spiraled out of control. That was their first loss of the year. They bounced back the next week with a win over A&M. Then I believe they had the bye week, and then the Bama game happened. And really just, other than the A&M game, it was a really, really rough stretch.
Yeah, and beating A&M last year was not exactly...
Didn't necessarily mean as much as people might have thought when the season started.
I know Lane enjoys that very much.
He very much enjoyed that. But I think that... And he'll be the first to say that he did not handle it well.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously...
If he doesn't want to say that, I will.
You know, the Auburn thing was distracting. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think the rumors really started. It was Arkansas week.
Yeah.
Arkansas ran for like 400 yards in that game. I mean, that was until Ole Miss kind of scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. That was a 30-something point game. It was awful. And a lot of the games towards the end of the season were pretty hard to watch. The Egg Bowl was awful. They had a chance to tie it at the end, and they couldn't do it. It was tough, but I think that if we're looking at this Ole Miss team, they're going to be better. The question is, is it really going to show up on the wins and losses? Because I think their schedule is just so much harder than it was last year. I mean, when your second game of the year, you know, you're not playing Central Arkansas, you're playing Tulane. And they've got that stretch of LSU, Arkansas, Alabama, and Auburn. They play at Georgia.
Yeah.
It's insane. And so, you know, Pete Golding.
Very few SEC schools have Alabama and Georgia on the road. I'm trying to think if anybody else does.
It's brutal. And, of course, you know the Auburn game is going to be something.
Yeah. That is glad you reminded me of that.
It's an Auburn with Hugh Freeze. It's going to be wild.
Well, that's where we that's the schedule. Michael Katz, thank you very much. Always great to see you, and we will continue this as the season gets closer.
I always appreciate you.
Thanks so much. Well, a few minutes remaining, and we will maybe even get some phone calls in here to wrap it up.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Don't have a lot of time left here, but we do have a little bit, so I thought we would maybe take some phone calls and start with Fred calling us from Alabama. Hey, Fred, good afternoon.
Hi, it's Frank. Frank.
Paul. Frank, I'm sorry. Good afternoon. Same to you.
Where did you get that clown that said the Saban dynasty is over?
You're talking about Michael Bratton.
Because he didn't come from Alabama or anywhere around it.
Hold on a second. You said Frank is your name?
Yes, sir.
Okay. For those of you who just got home or in the car, wherever you're listening to us, Michael Bratton was here from That SEC Podcast, and he had some really tough things to say about Coach Saban. So that's what you're referring to, right?
Yes, sir. Mr. Feinbaum.
Yeah. So what? You didn't agree with it, I take it. So what?
Evidently, I didn't, because that man right there, you handled it well. You just sat back and let him run his head. But he's a joke. Please don't ever have that man back on again.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to our people and see if we can ban him.
You might need to, because I've been with you for 30 years, from writing down papers in Birmingham to I-95 to right here. You know, you've been my go-to man, and I couldn't believe you had that man on today.
Well, let me say this to you, Frank. I appreciate your loyalty, and I will can we not have him on anymore? Oh, I'm asking over. Okay. I mean, he was off the rails today. It's his opinion, though, is what I'm trying to communicate. He said, he picked Alabama to finish third in the SEC.
He
didn't
pick here.
West. But you also have to remember, he's not an Alabama fan like you. He's a
podcaster. Great, but you
okay,
know,
well,
I
listen,
mean,
we'll take care of him.
Okay, I love you, Paul. Y'all be cool, okay?
Thank you. You too. Thanks, Frank.
Bye-bye.
You got it. wow. How about Dustin up next? Hello, Dustin.
Hello. This is my first time getting to call in, so I appreciate you taking my call.
The only thing
I was going to say was with the whole Lane Kiffin situation, I didn't catch the whole interview, but I heard the comment about you talking about free agency, and I don't understand the hypocrisy with the coaches, because I can understand that NIL, like, I do think there should be, you know, a little bit of regulation. But at the same time, you know, with the Lane Kiffin situation, with flirting with Auburn, and then I'm an Oklahoma fan, so the whole Lincoln Riley situation with USC, it's just, you know, like, they preach that the players should be regulated, but then they don't do the same thing. They don't. Usually they'll sign contracts, they can stick through the full length of the contract, they'll just leave when they want. So it's like it kind of has to go both ways.
Okay. Hey, thank you very, very much. I didn't mean to rush, but we just have very little time for calls.
Oh, Jim,
no. Okay, thanks a lot. We'll talk tomorrow. I have a lot more time for calls. Jim is up next.
I thought that guy from Tuscaloosa was up next.
Well, you are up next.
Oh, no,
this year.
That guy from Tuscaloosa?
Oh, okay. Well, anyway.
Well, let me tell you something, Paul. I'll tell you something, man. I'm real. I am real. You can say any lie you want to about me, but I'm real. I've done what I said I'd do. I've done what I said I did. I did it well. I did it better than most of them, and I'm real. Let me tell you something about that Bratt guy. The guy that just now a while ago, he told it like it was. That Bratton is a complete moron, just as Braden Gall is. Yeah, I talked to Braden because I felt sorry for him. He begged for me for a whole week, and I-Man finally, and I-Man's the man. He's the man. I-Man is the man. I do what I-Man's my manager. He's my Carl Parker. You understand? But I'll tell you something, Paul. You've lost it. You have lost it. People, I mean, you ought to hear the people telling me what they think about you. It's not good,
well,
Paul.
Since we haven't talked in a few weeks, Jim, why don't you enlighten the audience on what your friends are saying about me?
Well, you ought to hear what Brando says. You ought to hear what Jeff says. You ought to even hear what our man says. He's not happy. Well, I'll let them speak for themselves, but I can tell you right now, I'm telling the truth. I don't lie.
Okay. Well,
thanks, Paul.
If I've lost
thanks,
it, then I appreciate you being
well,
man enough
remember,
to let me know.
You can't even remember who you're talking to. You can't even remember who you're talking to.
You're right about that. Who am I talking? Who is this?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I-Man is next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum. It's good to have
good
you back.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you.
It's obvious that the writers strike out in Hollywood's and messed up all your guests because they all suck. You know, when does... And I was listening to Fred call a little while ago from Tuscaloosa, wherever he's from in Alabama. I mean, when does he get the fact that your guests have their opinions, just like he did? And Fred, let me tell you this. Just because you've been here for 30 years, it don't give you 1 ounce of in front of the line. You right there where you've been for 30 years, and that's it. You just got one opinion. And you know, listening to Jim talk, and I tell you, I'm impressed with Jim. He just says it like it is. I mean, it doesn't matter if you agree with it, disagree with what he's going to tell you what he thinks, and he is real about that. But, you know, Paul, I was listening to this, and when do people understand that your last caller before Jim, he said, you know, I only caught part of the interview, but he's going to comment on all of it. When do the people understand this is not fan day? This is media days. This is where you guys do your job.
I mean, thanks for the call. We were up against a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.